speaking of DNA, DNA is the storage locker for our genetic code, and why not convert the ones and zeros of a digital code into the AGTCs of the genetic code and store those digital information in our DNA? A team of engineers did just that. The engineers were able to turn digitized photos and videos into DNA code, and then they were able to retrieve the info out of DNA, which is very important if you're going to use it as a storage medium, with 100% accuracy. Very important step. So why not create a hard drive out of DNA? My next guest is here to tell us how to do that. Georg Seelig is part of that team, and he's an associate professor of electrical and computer science at the University of Washington. He joins us from KUOW. Welcome.
Welcome. It's good to be here.
So the first question is, why do you do this? We have thumb drives that can store terabytes of information. Is DNA a great storage medium?
I think it is. I mean, there's sort of three main reasons why that's true. The first one is it's really small. It's really dense, so you can just cram a lot of information into very small space. The second is that it lasts for a long time. I mean, we can retrieve DNA from very old, like 100,000-year-old fossils. And the third one is that DNA, as you've just talked about, is sort of our genetic material, and so we'll always be interested in reading DNA. So it's not like a floppy disk that 10 years from now nobody will be able to look at.
In your experimentation, tell us what you did, what kind of photos, how you were able to digitize the DNA.
Okay, yeah, so the process is actually quite simple, right? So anytime you store image or video or something in a computer, you've already digitized it into zeros and ones. And then what we need to do is translate these zeros and ones to A's and C's and G's and T's. So you could do that by just saying, you know, an A is 00, T is 01, G is 10, and C is 11. And so you just translate zeros and ones to letters. Then you essentially ask a DNA synthesis company to make strands of DNA for you that have, you know, the right series of letters. You get the DNA in the mail, actually. You store it in a fridge as of now, but, you know, in different settings in the future. And then you kind of sequence it back to read the information in that test tube.
Wow. And it will stay for how long?
It really depends on how you treat it. I mean, DNA can be very, very stable, like thousands of years, if it's kept away from water. If it's in water, it won't last, you know, very long.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International, talking with Georg Seelig at the University of Washington in Seattle. How do you then get the information back out? What kind of mechanisms can you use to retrieve it from the DNA?
Okay, that's sort of a two-step process. First, you use a technique called PCR, which allows you to essentially pick out, you know, if you have in your pool of DNA many different files and you just want to read one, you can use PCR to sort of do random access and pick out just a specific file you like and amplify that. And then you take what you amplify, then you put it on a DNA sequencer, which is exactly the same, you know, type of device that Dr. Venter is using. And so then that allows you to read the information back.
And then give me an idea how much data you can store in DNA.
So in our paper, we just stored about 150 kilobytes, which is not a lot, obviously. I think it was four images. But I think that's really changing very rapidly. So I think this 10 years ago, 20 years ago, people were able to synthesize maybe, you know, a few strands of DNA corresponding to a few characters that you could store. And I think in, you know, just a few years, we'll be able to store orders of magnitude more data.
Give me an idea what you mean. How many pictures, photos, videos?
Oh,
is
so
it terabytes we're talking about?
Oh, I think eventually, for sure. I mean, I think eventually exabytes are realistic. So I think we can store, you know, not next year, but maybe 10 years from now or so, I think we can store like data center sized amounts of information in DNA.
A whole data center size, and how much space would that take?
I mean, an exabyte, if you just look at the DNA alone and with a little bit of packaging, you could argue that it would be like a sugar cube. I think realistically, you know, you'll have to build infrastructure around that sugar cube. So the effective density will be less than that, but it could be really small. I mean, it's definitely the denser than any storage material that's out there, including magnetic tape, which is currently sort of the the gold standard.
So you could take a whole data center and put it in a sugar cube size thing.
I think eventually that will happen. I think that the potential is there. And this application, I mean, the key thing that needs to happen to get there is that you need to make writing DNA, so DNA synthesis, much, much cheaper, like a million times cheaper. And, you know, there's a lot of questions as to how to do that, but I think it can be done. And if we do it, then, you know, this becomes realistic.
And you're working with Microsoft on this, are you not?
Exactly. And I'm actually working.
They've got so much in business in the cloud now, they must be interested in data storage.
Exactly. So we're actually, you know, a team. So my expertise is kind of on the DNA side. I'm actually a synthetic biologist by training. And then I'm working with people at Microsoft, Karin Strauss, Dr. Mean, and in my own department in computer science with Louis Sezi and their computer architects. And really what they are thinking about is how to improve storage. So I think there's a real interest commercially in making storage cheaper and denser.
Well, Georg Seelig, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
It's my pleasure.
Associate Professor of Electrical and Computer Sciences at the University of Washington in Seattle.